Well, I okay. Well, I'm actually plugged in with the elusive Jim West.
Hey, thanks a lot for inviting me.
Feel like you live inside the computer, Jim.
I live inside, I am.
You're like
I'm just a chip.
it's like
I'm a chip
those
off the old transistor.
yeah, it's like those movies. You've got that kind of voice, you know those movies where those guys are in a space station or something up there and they have the artificial AI technology that they talk to that keeps them from being lonely.
Yeah, well,
You're like
it's
that kind of
smarter.
voice.
Yeah, AI would be an improvement over my brain.
That's
So,
right.
what do you think about the disintegrating world?
Yeah, I know. It's crazy, isn't it? It gets crazier by the day. I don't know, man. I'm trying just to break it down, and it's bloody nuts.
Did you see the movie The Joker?
No, not yet. No, I just heard how much it's grossed.
Yeah, I saw it last night. It was pretty good, but not that good. It's very negative. It's all about an insane guy called the Joker, and he's a stand-up comedian, and he starts killing people, and he only kills white people, and he only empathizes with black people,
Of course.
and everybody likes him though, and they put on these Joker masks,
I haven't seen it, so he's killing white people in it.
Yeah, I mean, nobody talks about that. I seem to be the only one that notices that,
And I heard that there was something in regards to the media or something like that, that the it was something about the media not liking it or something. I don't know that it's like.
Well, the critics, I think it's sort of a fake thing, maybe, but in Metacritic.com, the critics give it about like a 55 rating out of 100, and the fans give it almost everyone has given it a 100, So it's a little weird, It's like the people versus the critics, and the critics love it, I mean the people love it,
Why do the people love it? Who d d does
They
the
think it's all they do is say it's the work of genius. It's a great film.
Yeah, I've heard so much. They haven't stopped about it here. I've not seen it at
Yeah.
all. Only the advertisements, but it seems to have taken off in the alternatives media world as well.
Yeah. Well, the alternative media. Yeah. It seems like it. To me, I think it's like a satire on the woke culture, and on the liberals and the fake liberals and stuff like that. It's,
The guy that plays the Joker, the actor,
Phoenix.
Joaquin Phoenix, he's a great actor, though, isn't he?
Well, he's supposed to be a great actor, but he's always very intense, and one of those people who becomes one with the role. He can't tell who he really is when he's working on the role. All that stuff, it's almost too much, too intense, And he will starve himself to shape his body a certain way, or he'll eat too much to become a fat person and stuff like that. And he tries to get totally into the role. And when he was young, his family had joined a cult called the Children of God, And so he's and his brother overdosed as a child, a young actor, let's put it that way. He overdosed on drugs and died, River Phoenix.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So you got to see it, man. It's a fantastic movie. Not exactly. No big deal if you don't see it, but I guess it's a historical thing.
Says it's become a certified box office sensation, earning $744 million in worldwide ticket sales after less than a month in theaters.
Amazing. Yeah, because they did an interview of the director, Todd Phillips, who wrote the script, supposedly, if not the CIA writing the script. And he said that he gave up doing comedies. He did the Hangover movies, which I thought were fantastic. You know, they're very funny. And this is like not too funny, although I have a friend who's very intelligent, and he says this is a hilarious movie. I don't quite get the humor, you know.
Yeah, jeez. You know? It's, yeah, God, I just, they're saying here, will it reach a billion? It's meant to hit 900 million worldwide at the end of this weekend, and that's only after 1 month. So Todd Phillips' movie was made on a production budget of somewhere between 55 and 70 million.
So I guess he had he was really constrained, I guess.
God. Yeah, anyway.
So he's set for life. Like he always has been successful, though. Since he started being a director.
Hmm. Is this it looks like a pretty dark movie, though. It's funny to live in a time when dark movies are becoming the most popular movies worldwide, you know?
Yeah, well, I don't know if they're popular or they're being shoved down our throats, you know? It's like they discontinued comedy, you know?
Yeah, I know. Everything's really dark, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't like it, you know? I used to love comedies. Now I can't even find one, you know?
Yeah, I know. Well, as I've said to you before, you know, a lot of the old British comedies that people grew up with watching in Australia, they'd probably be illegal on TV now.
Oh, yeah.
Because of the type of comedy, you know? It's
the sexist and racist.
You know?
Hey, now you laughed. Now we're in trouble.
I know. It's funny. It's everyone's so oversensitive and paranoid now. You can't say anything. And I was reading a lot of articles and looking at some YouTube videos how all this is destroying the relationship that men and women can have. You know, men don't want to say anything to women. They don't want to even talk to them anymore. And, you know, it's getting so ridiculous. Everyone's offended over everything. You can't say anything. And now with all the transgender movement and everything like that, with all the wording, it's just crazy. Everyone's paranoid, hiding under their rocks. I guess people were just getting to that point where they think it's easier just to be alone than have a family or anything, you know?
Yeah, and it's no joke. It's like there's serious repercussions if you even joke around about something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty scary. I mean, you can say something just joking around or just sort of testing the water, and suddenly you're like someone's screaming at you that you're racist, you know, or something, you know.
That's right. Yeah, I know. And it's pretty scary. Australia has racial vilification laws, not just discrimination laws, but racial vilification laws. If you type that into your search engine, that's only Australia. We have all these anti-association laws and stuff like that, you know. I was just reading in one of the local malls recently I don't have it in front of me, but groups of children can't be together in this malls now, in the one place together because of these anti-association laws, you know. If you're with more than a handful of people, then it kind of, I guess, to the government, it makes you a threat. Even though kids are just going to see a movie, it's like they're going to cause trouble because there's more than five or six of them, you know? That came in for the bikies. The bikies, the anti-association laws and the lockout laws, we've talked about it before. So a big nanny state in Australia, but all these things. And now with the all the laws coming in with the, as I said, the LGBTQ agenda and all the transsexual movement, and you know, that's getting scary as well.
Wow.
No one wants to talk.
Yeah. So are you feeling more comfortable? I know you had been attacked, I guess, in the last couple of months.
Oh, I don't care, man.
You don't care. Come on, you care.
Nah, I'm old school. It's all a game, Jim. It's all a game. I just, whatever. Move on. You know, keep chatting.
Good.
It's just,
I don't know. I'm a paranoid guy, man. I don't want people like throwing rocks through my window or whatever, you know. So, you know, I try to keep it low profile. At the same time, I'd like to talk about things, you know. So it's tricky, you know. I think. I don't like the way the world's gone because, you know, the world could have gone it always like could have gone in a good way, but it always seems to go in the bad way. You know, I remember in the 60s, you know, like the 60s was evolving. The music was creative and innovative and beautiful. And there was always a new hit from somebody you never heard of coming out every week, you know. And then suddenly, boom, it disappeared, and all we had was disco, you know. Mm. And then after that, it was all nothing but rap, you know. And it was like, you figure rap could only last a couple of years, and it went on forever, you know.
I know.
So, yeah. I mean, the world just keeps going into the mediocre. But I mean, I know rap can be amazing, you know, and all that. But actually, you know, when it comes down to it, when they open up singing to sort of a democratic form, which is what like The Voice or America's Got Talent or Australia's Got Talent or whatever, those shows, they really go back to traditional singing, yeah, pop singing and stuff like that. And
a lot of it comes from jazz, doesn't it?
Well, no, a lot of it's rock and country.
But a lot of that comes from old school jazz, no? Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's all old school stuff. I mean, I'm just saying it's not rap, you know, and it's not like techno music. I mean, they actually watch people sing in sort of a virtuoso physical way, you know, like singing, you know. And that seems to be very popular, you know, but not on the radio so much, but quite a lot when you open it up to a wide audience, you know, they seem to like real singing, you know. So anyway, are you gonna be singing soon?
Do you want me to sing now? No, I don't think so.
Could. I mean, Adam, I think it's time you sang a song for us, you know.
Mm, I'll see if I can get something together.
Okay. I mean, I heard you had musical talent.
What's that?
I heard you had musical talent.
I think you're like kind of stalking me, Jim West. You're stalking me, finding out about my past, aren't you?
Well, I thought everybody knew about it.
This AI machine that you are, Jim West, just learning about me and taking over my identity.
Yeah, I'm an AI talker.
I was just pulling up a few things.
Oh, so you sent me this thing about Wakefield.
Oh, no, I was going to say this as well, Jim, just to go back to what before. It was one I was talking about before. Not a lot of people looked at it, and it was judges in the UK have been instructed to issue harsher punishment for those found guilty of transgender or homophobic hate crimes. So that was, and then I just highlighted what they meant here, and it says in a statement issued by the South Yorkshire Police, they defined a non-crime hate incident as offensive or insulting comments online, in person, or in writing.
So what if you're gay? Can you be convicted if you're gay of saying, of making an anti-gay comment? Probably.
Yeah, it's just getting so crazy now. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, you'll get to the point where you won't be able to say anything against these people. You know,
that's what Aristotle teaches in his 10 rules for tyrannical control of the people. He taught that radical democracy was what you need to have in order to it's the rule of nitty picky regulations, you know, called radical democracy. And then he also he says that the this is politically incorrect to say, but even mentioned, but he says that to maintain tyrannical control, you need to increase the power of slaves and women. But the thing is, and that's how, because the real threat to any government, any tyranny, is men, and so you need to neuterize the men by increasing the undermining of men by women. That's his basic premise. Method of undermining. So anyway, but
interesting.
Yeah, but I mean, it's good because a lot of men need to be undermined. You know, they're nasty and tough, and they're dangerous. You know, so this getting women out there like that, it cools them off. You know, but you don't want to go too far and have everybody undermining everybody else. You know, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. It's just I know, it's crazy, man. It's crazy. Hard to digest all the information, Mr. West.
Well, there's always so much happening. I went out in the desert there, and I hardly spent any time, like maybe a half hour, no, maybe an hour on the computer. Like every 2 or 3 days, I would hit a computer. I didn't even have a computer. I just go to the library.
You've been in Arizona, right?
Well, yeah, I was out there.
You're back in New York?
Desert, you know.
Now?
Yeah, yeah. I'm in New York, and I was out in the desert. And
nice out there, man.
Well, it was incredible. The air was so clean. You know, it was like in the mountains, you know. So it's like a mountain air thing, you know. And it took about 10 days, but my body and my brain, everything it started coming together, you know, and I became sort of athletic and happy and very strong feeling. All my organs and everything began to feel strong, you know. Now I'm back in New York, and I can already feel the disintegration and the struggle, you know, just from the pollution, you know. If New York wasn't so polluted, it'd be heaven, you know, because the people are nice. They're good. I like them. I like the opportunity and the business, but it's just a polluted city.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Yeah.
It's so many tall buildings trapping all that car smog in too, you know?
Yeah, well, what do the tall buildings do?
I'd say they look like trap all the smog in there, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, they create a lot of smog, and they slow down the wind, and, you know. there's a lot of traffic here, you know.
It's just,
a lot of oil refineries. Oil refineries.
You got so much going. You got that, you know, you got like, when I see things like places like, we were talking on another podcast, like how a guy was taking, I don't have it here, but a guy was taking these photos above New York City, a certain height. I don't have it in front of me, so I won't say. I'm not sure. It was on a few ones, and another guy did it in Las Vegas, and the New York City in Las Vegas at night from above looked like circuit boards from a motherboard, you know, from a computer. And so we were kind of discussing that, you know, it was really strange, like especially New York City, but it's amazing. You're talking about, you know, pollution and EMF, you know, microwave technology and all this stuff that we've been talking about for years. A city would be like, just blows me away, you know. You know, all the buildings 24/7, you know, you see the city and it's like every light on those buildings are always constantly on, and just the traffic and the lights and just the amount of dirty electricity, the amount of energy it takes to fuel one city every moment of the day, you know, and the refineries and the cars, everybody stuck there, all the shops, the restaurants open all the time, 24/7. And you kind of, it's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing.
And all that electricity is running under the sidewalks.
It's crazy, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, you talk about EMF, man, a city must be. How do we even survive in them as humans, you know?
You don't. your life is decreased in quality and in length, you know?
It's like you're walking around and, yeah, you're getting on with your life, but internally, inside, you're drowning and struggling, you know?
People become like vegetables, you know?
Yeah, those big high-rise apartment buildings you see there and just... Because everything's so much smaller here, you know, compared to cities like that. I mean, Sydney's way away from me, you know. Not way away. I mean, you can see the skyline a bit, but it's such a small city compared to places like New York. And I was watching these documentaries you were mentioning on another show, how the what's happening in Australia, and I think you're getting it over there, is that you're getting all these fringe dwellers. So you're getting like the people who live in the city and on the coast and up the coast and down the coast, and then you're getting all the people moving in on the fringes of the city. And that they're getting so big that they're actually connecting to other places. And I don't know if that happens in, I get that feeling with America, I haven't been there, but you could just go to these large cities on the freeways quite frequently and quickly, where they're starting to merge together because the houses are going out on the suburbs, and the suburbs are linking up with places that were so far away before and were, actually, was all farmland, you know?
It's just, if you just, when you fly into New York City and you're about 800 miles from it, you begin to see the population, actually about 1,000 miles from it, you begin to see the population get more and more dense. You know, like there's no country, you know, it's just solid buildings, you know, and it's like a, you know, I think Sydney is about 5 million, less than 5 million, which is actually pretty heavy. I think New York is around 8 or 9 million. But then the metropolis of the metropolitan area stretching out from New York is like 20 million. And
Jesus,
you know, it's really you know, they're not doing this in New York, but some cities like Phoenix, Arizona, there people are drinking your urine filtered, you know, they're just filtering the sewage and recycling it back into the water supply, you know. So it's pretty horrible.
Jeez, what's the population of New York City?
Well, it's 8 or 9 million, but it goes out to like, it goes out to 20 million in the metropolitan area, you know.
Jeez.
New York population, yeah, it's 8.6 million.
God, that's.
But that's, Sydney is 4.6 million.
This almost a little bit more people live in all of New Zealand than Sydney. New Zealand population is about 4.794 million.
Okay, in so all it's of a New little Zealand. Bigger than Sydney, yeah.
In all of the country of New Zealand, yeah. So a lot of wealthy elites and big banker men and these kind of people with a lot of money, they're buying incredible properties in New Zealand, you know.
Okay,
maybe they think something's coming. Because there
seems to be a lot of agricultural industry over there, right?
Yeah, I mean, I've been there a couple of times, and it is incredible. I mean, the clean water and air is just amazing. It's an amazing place.
It's pretty good, huh?
It's so beautiful. It's just unbelievable. I went to South Island and to Christchurch and just hired a car, and you drive out on the road, and the highways are empty. They're all brand new, you know. And then you go up into these mountain lakes and these forests and the fresh water coming out of the ground everywhere, you know, and the farms and the clean air. It's a magnificent place. That's why they're buying up all these incredible properties, you know. That's why they're disarming the Kiwis as well, taking their guns away, and then the rich are moving in.
Oh, yeah.
Moving into these magnificent properties. But, yeah, it's a beautiful place.
Wow.
Maybe Tasmania has cleaner air and water in parts, but... some national parks in Tasmania haven't been touched since the last ice age. You know, that's an amazing place too, down in the roaring 40s, you know, Antarctica not far, very clean air and water too. You know, I felt great down in Tasmania when I went down there a few times, felt fantastic. And then every time I come back to Sydney, I just feel tired again. As soon as I get back into Sydney airport, I just feel like I've been zapped.
I've only been in New York, back in New York a few days, and I noticed that when I was in Arizona, my teeth they felt strong, like I had never had any problems or something. Now I'm back here for a few days, and there's like kind of a weakness, you know, in my teeth, you know, and I'm thinking, oh my God, I better brush my teeth again, you know, and more salt and water and
coconut oil.
Yeah, the pulling thing and all that. I, you know, suddenly I'm more conscious about trying to survive. And
yeah, you don't need to pull the coconut. Just put it in your mouth for even 5 minutes every morning after you get up. That's enough.
Oh yeah, right?
That's enough.
Yeah, okay,
rub it on. It's good stuff. It works. Good. It helps keep your teeth strong.
Do you swallow it or spit it out?
No, spit it out. Yeah. Don't spit it in the sink. You might block the sink up.
Even if you pour hot water through it?
That's what I do. If I do put it in the sink, I guess some people say it might, block in the sink because it does harden. But
sure.
It's one of those things, it does work. Yeah, I know. That's crazy, isn't it? It's amazing how quick the human body can start to regenerate and heal itself if the conditions are right or even not completely right. You're still going to be faced with your Wi-Fi and things where you move, but you go back to the big cities and I guess you're talking about there for sort of feeling things that you're starting to break down again.
Yeah, it's like I feel the stress that I have to do, you know.
It's a lot of I couldn't do it, Jim. I can't live in cities. I can't do it. Yeah. I go absolutely mental. I can't handle it. And I believe it causes a lot of depression as well. You know, if you're around lot of concrete and glass and bricks and these people and all this stuff, and there's not enough, you know, earthy elements and trees and stuff around you and that fresh air, it causes massive depression in people, you know. And it's always been a fact that country kids and people are far healthier than people who live in cities. But, you know, some people, they really love the cities. They're building all these big apartments now here. The Chinese love it, and they build these huge stack and pack, we call them. Stack and pack little coffins of apartments, and then underneath they got all the shops, like the mall underneath, so they never have to leave the building. They just come out of their apartment, they go down the elevator, and then they come out and they got the shops, you know, with all the marble and all the little fountains and all their little shops and stuff. And they're all on the phone. I was listening to the radio this afternoon. I can't back myself up. I was driving home this afternoon. I swear they were talking about Australian kids spending 70 hours a week on mobile phones now. And I thought, 70 hours? I'm pretty sure it was 70 hours. 70 hours. And everywhere I go now, the teenagers are all on the phones all the time. And so that would probably work. That would match up for me, but that's just horrifying.
Right.
Crikey, man. Yeah. Cities are a killer, man. They're just a killer.
Well, I love the idea of a city, and I love the cities in theory, but the thing is, most of the restaurants, there's all kinds of restaurants, but most of them are kind of like garbage because they're not organic. You know, I don't, and the water's not filtered. You're getting this crappy water, chlorinated water. And
what do you think that drive is, Jim? What's in human beings that makes us fascinated and how we get pulled towards cities? Because they do have a certain charm, as you said, you know, to go to the big city and you walk around, you look around. Some people really love, they wouldn't live anywhere else. They love living in the city.
I know what it is.
I don't mind visiting, don't get me wrong.
I know the attraction because people are very interesting. And with a city, you have a greater chance of running into somebody who you're going to resonate with, or with more people that you're going to resonate with, and you can do it face-to-face. It's not, you know, just over the telephone or just through the internet or through some digital media. I mean, you're going to run into a lot of people. That's the amazing thing is whatever you think, somebody's going to contradict it when you just turn around, you know. People who like people want to be with a lot of people, you know, and I think it's fun. I think it's great in the, you know, for the opportunity, you know, the possibilities of synergies with people.
Everyone seems to know each other in cities, don't they? I feel like a real outsider. You go, you walk past the pubs and everyone's chatting and laughing. It's like, I feel like if I walk in here, it's going to be like walking into someone's lounge room and they're all going to turn off the TV and stare at me.
I think they form, they form cliques and they form regular for social routines.
Every Friday, Saturday night, they all go and yeah.
It appears that they know each other, but they're just cliques and groups that know each other. I don't think they would know each other if they walked out of that bar, you know. But
places are just packed now.
I don't like that either. I don't like that either because it's just loud, and you got to scream at the person. You know, you're drinking and you got to scream at somebody to be heard. And my voice is too soft to get heard. And I don't like those situations. You know, I like these quiet bars. They're very, very rare. They're almost non-existent. But these like felt line walls and
with the bar flies.
With very few lights and very dark, you know, and very, very light music in the background, and you're drinking maybe a bourbon or something, you know. I like that. I like that. That's pretty neat. That's,
like the little underground jazz bars and stuff.
Well, I mean, those even are too loud because they have a live band. Mm. But I don't mind it when I like it when they play music like a live band, but then when the band takes a break, they don't give you a break because they play break music. And sometimes it'll be louder than the band, you know? Mm. I mean, a lot of people, these cafe managers, they don't have any taste, you know? It's so rare, and then you get a good one, it's going to be very expensive, you know?
That's the thing. The nightlife now is increased so much. It's so incredibly detailed, you know? Like when I kind of was 18 and 20 and going out, there was nothing to do around here, absolutely nothing to do. And we played in bands and stuff and all got drunk and did the thing. But now it's like it's really gourmet and flashy and fancy, you know. All the old docks and all the old factories, like there was a lot of old factories around where I grew up, and they're all being transformed into little gin places, and they're making, you know, boutique beers, and they're making all this food. And, every time you turn around, there's like a coffee place where they're making all the coffee there. There's all these people sitting there having coffees and dinner and all this stuff. And there's these amazing pubs, breweries, where people go now and they keep them really rustic, you know. They brew all these fresh beers on site and everyone goes there. And then we might go and, you know, but it's, you know, it's like $10 for one beer. And then you get something to eat for a couple of us, it can be like $100. And, you know, it gets very expensive nowadays just to go out. But every time I go out and everywhere I am, there's just hundreds, thousands of people just eating and drinking all the time. I don't know where they get their money. I really don't. It's crazy. I can't fork it out sometimes. Just one night out can be hundreds of dollars now. You get a bit of a shock. You might go down to a pub or somewhere and you say, I'll just have a beer or whatever. And they're generally rude to you sometimes, you know, and it's like $7, $10, $12. How much?
Yeah.
They put a little squeak of bourbon, or they put a little squeak of rum or something, and they fill it with ice and Coke, and like $15, $17. You're like, oh, forget it. I'll go and get a bottle and sit in the park.
Yeah. Well, my gosh, yeah. Well, you know, when I was in Arizona, I'd go to these bars, and they're music bars, right? They have live bands, you know, and I wouldn't even buy a drink. I'd just go sit there and listen to the band because I'm studying guitar, so I just want to learn the technique of the guitar players, you know. And sometimes they even let me sit in and stuff like that and sing and junk, you know. But I don't even buy a drink, and a lot of times when I do buy a drink, I usually buy like a tonic water, you know, because I sort of like the quinine flavor, and they don't even charge me. It's like, oh, you're not getting an alcoholic drink? Okay, well, no charge, you know. You know,
you need to take a little hit flask in with you and then just sit down at your table and then pour a little in.
I could pour it in there, you know.
Yeah, so it's all free.
Yeah, I could do that, you know. But and then sometimes I'll buy a beer like a Modelo Negra, you know that beer?
Yeah, sure. That's the one we were talking about that doesn't have the hops.
Oh, I guess. I don't know. It tastes delicious, though. It's kind of a sweet.
I think that's a malt beer.
It's a malt beer, yeah.
I'm sure of that.
It's a malty beer.
We did a show on hops, remember? We were talking about the hops and the estrogen. Mm.
Yeah, that was enlightening. But, so I buy a beer sometimes, but even then it's like $4, you know. So a bottle of beer for $4, you know. Imported. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's a pretty good deal, right?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, if you have Australian dollars, but
to me that's a dream, man, to just sit and listen to music and not have to pay hardly anything, and you get to sit in with a band and all that junk. I mean, that's where I like that. Plus, and then the fresh air and the moon and the stars, you know. It's
I guess at really the end cool. of the night when they're packing up and putting up the stools on the tables, one of the bar ladies would be like, who was that strange man in here tonight? I don't think he paid for anything all night. And he was singing with the band. He was having drinks. He was talking to people. He was really enjoying himself. But I didn't see him take out any wallet or anything.
I'm not the only one, you know.
Sure, Jim.
You know.
Very nice work. Nice work.
Yeah.
You're like existing in these environments like that and learn the lingo and kind of
right
disappear out the back door when you're finished, you know?
Yeah, and there's like every once in a while there's a girl like sitting next to me grabbing my leg and stuff like that, you know? It's pretty cool.
Really? Do tell.
Yeah. Huh?
What's going on here, Jim?
I don't know. I mean, I tried to pretend like I did not enjoy it, you know?
Mm.
You know,
so it's geez, yeah.
Easy but it didn't work.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I think I found the retirement nirvana.
You live in the dream.
Yeah, living the dream, man.
Good stuff.
I was feeling so healthy in that clean. I wanted like. Join the baseball team, maybe be a pitcher or something, you know.
Jeez. Yeah.
You know, it just shows you the potential of mankind when you remove the pollution.
When you're feeling better.
Right.
And we talk about that a lot, how people in cities just get used to feeling sick. And you talked about that, that kind of how they're
it's
keeping
normalized.
Us like animals. Yeah, how they're keeping us just sick enough, not too much, so we keel over and die, but they're just keeping us so we can keep working. And people struggle along, and after a few years, you kind of get used to feeling sick. But, you know, if you then someone like can go and change their environment and start to feel better, and they're like, wow, I feel like jumping over a building, you know? I feel like doing things again.
Right.
I feel like I got the energy, to do stuff.
You can think, you can start remembering words and things. You know, a lot of people are saying the Joker movie actually represents reality. And you know what I mean? I think it's not my reality, fortunately for me. But I'm hearing people saying it is the way life is, you know, that it's that bad. And they've accepted it. It's normalized. And they wake up and smile and get through life. But they're saying the life is like the Joker movie, you know.
Yeah, well, it's It's the behind the sad clown, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not just sad. It's the insane clown who kills people.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
So.
I know. You worry that people are being turned into that as well, that we're being turned mad. We'll plug out to now. We're on our 40, but yeah, there's been some, you know, you look at Hong Kong and just what's happened in Chile and South America and Chile. That was a really scary situation there with that. It was unbelievable, actually.
I think I was drinking a beer at that time and I missed that one.
Yeah, there was a massive uprising there and a million people on the streets of Santiago, you know. Quite a few deaths. But, you know, that country went through a very scary dictatorship. From about 1972 to 89, so not that long ago, you know. Last couple of times I was there, it was looking a bit degraded and people looked pissed off a bit, you know. It's it was just looking not like it used to, you know, and it's a new president there and people just, they started, I think what spiked it was fare hikes in the metro, underground metro train system, you know. They hiked the price and And then one of the transport ministers or something made a smart ass comment, and I think it just broke their back, and they started going on the streets to protest. And then this idiot president put military on the streets, which you just don't do in a country like that, because they went through a military dictatorship and they're not scared of the government and they're not scared of the military there. I mean, he was stretched with 40,000 military and police on the streets in Chile. And there was a million people in Santiago alone, and they're not scared. They have no fear. And so,
they put those people into the stadium and they killed people and tortured them.
They did back then, yeah.
And I don't think people liked that too much.
It was just different back then. That was in the 70s, and it was a smaller population. Now it's different, you know. And people were filming everything, and they were filming abuse by the police as well. My friend sent me a video in the middle of the day of these four cops doing cocaine and these people in apartments filming them on their phones, you know. And there was, I put up an article on the website where it shows them beating people and stuff like that. So real scumbags and terrible situation. So he sacked all his cabinet, and he's promising all this stuff now. And because it's a pretty wealthy country, they have a lot of minerals and things there, they should be doing okay, and the people aren't getting anything, and I think it just broke them. But could have got really nasty, people were robbing, or people were taking all the things out of the stores and the malls and everything like that, and it was on that knife's edge where they could have just lost control. Everything was getting burned, started getting burned. They were burning the train stations, and it started to get out of control because it's a pretty peaceful country now for quite a long while. But there you go. Just shows you people are getting tired in these big cities and overworked. They work over there from 7 in the morning. You come home 11 at night. And then they put up the fares, and the transport minister eating his $200 lunch with his big fat stomachs, telling you to get up earlier because it's cheaper. You know, I mean, it's people in big cities, Jim. We've talked about this, in big cities around the world where they're overworked and overtaxed, and they're run down and they're sick all the time and they're tired, and everything's getting more expensive. It's a recipe for disaster sometimes, you know. In big cities, I just think, oh man, what's going to happen, you know?
Well, a lot of the profit, I think, in those areas goes out of the country, you know.
It does.
So they're not really reaping the benefit of their work, you know.
It's like that whole situation when you're living downstream and you're not getting any water, and everyone upstream's living the life and getting all the water. It's
pissing in your water.
And pissing in the water, it creates that flashpoint, and it just explodes, you know. We don't see it here in Australia because it's okay, but some of those countries with just hellish populations, I mean, it's just I don't know how they're going to withstand. And it's why probably all these rich people are moving to New Zealand. Maybe they know something's coming, you know, these big what do you call them, like civil disobedience, and what was that one, the LA riots, remember the LA riots, you know, kinds of things that might be coming again, you know, where when people bite back, the governments will be stretched on, maybe not in the US, but with somewhere like Chile, they don't have enough military personnel or police to get on the streets. They would just get crushed. They would need help, and who's going to help them, you know? There's too many people now, and they're pissed off, and they don't have any fear.
A lot of the crowd control weapons, though, are pretty scary, you know?
That's right.
They have those high-frequency ray gun things.
Yeah, as well, yeah.
Machine guns and laser pointing things, and they got other things that are even better than laser pointing, you know. So I don't know what, I forgot what it is, but there's always advancing the technology with computer targeting and all that.
Crush your organs.
Yeah, they can do a lot of crazy things, you know.
Before we plug out, I mean, it's probably, do you feel safe in New York, somewhere like that? Do you get that, have you got that gut sort of intuition feeling that I just got to get out of here? Like, I don't,
well, it's better. I think the pollution to me is the only problem in New York.
It's a good city, so it's a pretty relaxed.
Yeah.
You don't have any kind of feelings of dread or anything bad's going to happen.
No. Well, every once in a while I think, oh, wow, you know, what if the trodden lower classes or whatever decided to start killing people or whatever? Maybe I'll get in trouble or something, you know, because in the 80s here it was quite dangerous. You know, there was a lot of but the thing is, they have an ingenious legal system that really knows how to play psychological games on people and keep the city pretty mellow, you know. And they're very concerned about keeping the city stable and making sure everybody is fairly happy. Like, they have a huge welfare system here that will defuse anything. They hire a lot of women in the police department, a lot of black women. So when these black guys become violent and they're hauled into jail, they're being hauled into jail by, like, their mother. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's a very clever... It's a very clever system they have here.
A management system.
Well, the law and order system is
managing
very,
the hood.
Yeah. It's very clever. And then,
keep you consuming and keep you happy.
Yeah. They keep everybody, everybody's pretty smart here. Even the bums on the street or the more uneducated working class, everybody's still pretty smart. You know, when you travel around, you realize that, you know. It's a tough city. It's a tough city, competitive city. And there is a camaraderie here where people are all proud to be from New York and all that stuff, you know, because it is tough and they know they survived it. You know what I mean? And so, I do love it in a way, you know, but it is horrible, you know. It is really horrible.
That's funny, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty funny. It's
a funny one.
So we ought to.
No worries, Jim.
Yeah.
How long are you staying in New York for? A little while yet, or?
Well, I'd like to get out of here within a month, you know.
Sure.
and return to the beautiful desolate environment, you know, of the country. You know, I'll still be linked up by computer, and when I get my everything together, hopefully get back into the talk show thing.
Yeah, your time's better there here as well.
Okay, good.
What's the time now in Arizona?
3 hours
back, isn't it?
Goes earlier. Back.
Yeah,
earlier.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So I'd be able to chat with you like I normally plug in around 7:30 Sydney time, which I plug in here with Australian guests. It's actually a really good time because you do 1 a.m. So I think that fits perfect. So more chatting coming with Jim West, folks.
Right.
when he gets sorted. So you're definitely, you're definitely flying the coop. You're definitely going to head there to live permanently.
Yeah.
You've made your mind up. You're not umming and ahhing.
Well, I'm
going to find you in a noodle bar in New York
City
and you change your mind.
I'm hoping for a miracle where my close, my mate and my close, we can work something out, but I don't see it happening, you know. It's very sad, you know, but I don't want to die of Alzheimer's, you know, in New York City, you know, so I want to get out in the country, you know.
You far from the Grand Canyon?
Yeah, I'm pretty far.
So it's a big state.
Yeah, I know. That's 5 hours away traveling, you know.
Yeah. Beautiful country.
And
though.
I've already seen it. Yeah.
Beautiful part of the world, though. Yeah. That's an amazing environment, that desert, but with the high mountains like that creates a nice gets snow up there? Does it snow? It would.
Actually, it does a little bit. Not as bad as New York, but
nice.
You know. But the mountains and the desert are a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it is. It really is. Yeah. I've been in the Atacama Desert in Chile, in northern Chile. It's amazing. Looks like the moon. I mean, Mars. It's
right.
High altiplano. Right. They've got this high altiplano with these lakes and flamencos. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's odd that in the desert there's a lot of animal life, you know, and plant life.
Yeah,
You
there
know,
is here. Yeah, that's
a lot
right.
of bugs and lizards and things and birds.
Course.
You know,
very
the
nice.
birds, when the birds fly around there in the clean air and everything, they fly with a powerful energy. You can hear their wings like going boom, boom, boom. You know, but in the city, you can see the birds are like flaky, man. They sort of stumble around, you know.
Jesus, I know.
You know, it's really obvious. You know,
everything's like, sad, even the pot plants.
Yeah, so it's very tough. So
great.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see how you go. See how you go. See how you go next weekend anyway. But we'll be a better time in Arizona. Absolutely better time. So keep me informed. I'll plug in. See how you're going next Sunday. And if you're still in New York, and we'll see if we can plug in. And then we'll wish you a good trip back to Arizona soon.
Yeah, well, yeah. Meanwhile, I'll catch you next week.
Great.
Yeah.
All right. I say, well, we'll plug out Hal.
Right.
Hal.
Hal.
Yeah.
Hal and Hell.
No, it's a computer system in a movie, I think. Hal.
I know. Yeah. I know.
Space Odyssey? So, was it? Oh, something like that.
Space Odyssey, yeah. 2001 Hal. Or something.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Thanks for chatting, Jim, and... thanks for the listeners, of course, and the members. Great to have everyone on board and website going. Okay, Jim's getting info out there. So thanks for those great folks for plugging in. Hope they're enjoying the shows and chat again soon, Jim.
Right. Great hearing you.